Let us pray. May only God's word be spoken, and may only God's word be heard. Amen. Please be seated. The book of Genesis has two stories about the creation of the world. These stories aren't meant to be science or history. They never were meant to be that. But that doesn't mean they don't contain truth. They contain a lot of truth, really important truth that we need to remember. Theological truth, moral truth, ontological truth, truth about who we are. And our first reading today comes from that second creation story. But before we talk about that, we need to talk about the first creation story, because these two stories are in dialogue with each other. They're in conversation. We can't understand one if we don't understand the other. So the first creation story, you know how it starts. In the beginning, right? It's the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was tohu vabohu, a Hebrew word that only shows up here. Scholars, not being able to cross-reference it against anything else, have some good guesses. They say it's something like a formless void, or welter and waste, or primordial chaos. I like that one, primordial chaos. And into that chaos, God is making order. God is taking all this stuff and creating objects, creating creatures that have their own being, their own identity, their own separation, their own boundedness, their own boundaries. And God makes light, and God makes water and sky, and God makes land, and God makes sun, moon, and stars, and God makes birds and all the sea creatures, and God makes all the land animals. And that takes about 6 days, according to the story. And at the end of each day, God looks over that creation, and God said, "It is good. It is good. It is oh so very good," God even says on some of those days. And on that sixth day, the very last of those land creatures that God made was humanity, you and me. And it says that when God made humanity, that God made humanity in God's very image. It also said that when God made humanity, that God invited, or perhaps we might even say God commanded us, humanity, to be stewards of the rest of creation, to care for it. And that is the first creation story. And in this story, there is so many truths for us. I would reckon that we probably focus on this first creation story more than the second one. Wouldn't you say so, Ryan? Yeah. If we spend a lot of time, I think that's good. It's meet and right, as it were, for us to focus on the story, because there are some really important truths here that we need to remember. We need to remember that in all the chaos of life, that God is in the midst of it, and God is at work continuing to create. God is continuing to bring things together. God is continuing to bring order out of the chaos. We need to always remember, keep before us the truth that we are made in God's image. You are made in God's image. When you look in the mirror in the morning, you are staring at the image of God. And that's probably a hard truth for some of us to realize, to accept. You know, some of us don't feel so good looking at that image. Maybe a few too many gray hairs, a few too many aging spots are coming on, right? But we need to be reminded that, yes, we are made in God's image. But so is all of humanity, which means that your neighbor is made in God's image. So if you look to the left right now, and you look to the right, that's the image of God right there. That person, your neighbor next to you, is the image of God. We need to hold that truth ahead in front of us. We also need to hold the truth that that also means that your enemy is made in the image of God. That's probably the hardest one of all, isn't it? The person who makes your blood boil. They too are made in the image of God. So we need to treat ourselves and our neighbors and our enemies, as Jesus says, love your enemy, with the respect and dignity that that God bearer is worthy of. That
It's a truth we need to remember when we read this first creation account. We also need to remember that we need to care for God's creation. We need to be stewards. We're now at a point in humanity's ability, power, that we can destroy creation in ways we've never been able to before. And we need to remember that that's not God's vision, God's dream. God's dream is not for us to consume creation, to destroy creation. God's dream is for it to nourish us and for us to nourish it, to be caretakers, to be stewards of that creation. So those are really important truths that we need to hold up in front of us all the time. But then there's the second creation story, and it's saying, okay, but I've got a few things I want to add to this conversation. Now, those additions to the conversation aren't necessarily in conflict. For instance, it reinforces, second creation story reinforces the message that we are to be stewards of creation. Both creation stories say that. You and I were stewards of this creation, take care of it. But second creation story also says, all right, Mr. First Creation Story, you think that God is making order out of chaos, then what about all the chaos I still see all around me? Are you telling me my eyes are lying with all the pain and the suffering that still exists in this world? Right? The second creation story is kind of making things a little more complicated. And the second creation story is also saying, okay, you may be made in the image of God, but let me tell you a story about taking that a little bit too far, about trying to be like God. The second creation story is saying, remember, okay, the first creation story says you're made in the image of God. Remember, though, you are not God. And that's an important distinction that the second creation story is trying to make here. You may be made in God's image, but you are not God. It's a distinction not unlike saying having a good, healthy self-esteem and being a narcissist, okay? You are made in God's image. Do not forget that fact, but also remember, you are not God. Let God be God, and you be you. You be the one who carries God's image, but don't try and put yourself in God's place. Don't puff yourself up that much. So the second creation story very much is kind of offering this corrective and saying, hold on, that may all be true, but let's step back a little bit. And let's see where, if we take this too far, we might go off the rails. Second creation story also says, I forgot a bit about the sermon. In the first creation story, everything that was made was good. In the second creation story, it says, but they're still bad. And while you may be good, deep in your core, you may be good. You, in fact, are good, the first creation story says, because God made you. That doesn't mean we don't fall short of the dream, the vision, the mark that God has set. And that falling short of the mark, falling short of the dream that God has, we call that sin. I know we don't like to use that word all that much, but it's an important one to remember. Every single person is good, and yet sometimes we don't live up to that. And the whole point of that is not to make you feel shame. I think if we don't remember that first creation story, we only look at the second one, often people, when they read that and they too internalize that, they kind of feel really bad about themselves and they think that they are bad. It's not what it's trying to do. It's trying to say, come back to that good. Keep trying. Because you are good. And you can do good things as well. And so, my friends, hold these two stories up before you. Don't just pick one. Hold them both up before you. Remember your goodness. Remember that you were made in God's image. Remember that God is at work in this world, bringing order out of chaos. Remember to be a good steward of God's creation. But also, remember that sometimes we miss the mark, and when we do, try again. For as it says in that psalm, there is plenteous redemption in the Lord. God's mercy and God's grace abound. We may be prone to wander, as the good old hymn writer put it, But remember, the grace is amazing, as that other writer wrote. So keep trying, keep coming back. Remember the goodness of the Lord. And remember that you are made in God's image, and your neighbor is too, and your enemy is too, and treat them with the respect worthy of that image. But don't try and be God. Let God be God, and you be you. Because God loves you. God loves you without question, without reservation. God made you in love more, and God loves you more than you ask for or begin to imagine. Amen.